Amen. Amen. And good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. God is good, and we thank him so much for blessing us to be here to worship his great name. If you are visiting with us, you are truly honored guests, and thank you for being a part of our fellowship this morning. I got a question for you this morning. Do you love God?
Yes.
Let's sing it if you love God. I really love the Lord. Sing it if you mean it. Yes, I really love the Lord. Yes. And you don't know. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, he gave me big. Oh, and that's why I love, yes, I love him. I really love the Lord. He watches over me. And he watches over. God is good. Oh, yes, he watches over me, and you don't know what is. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, he gave me. Yes, and that's why I love the Lord. I love him. I really love the Lord, and you don't know what. Oh, God is good. Oh, yes, he gave me. Thank you, Father. Oh, and that's why I love. Yes, I love him. I really love the Lord. And you don't know it's done for me. Oh, yes, he gave victory. And that's why I love. Yes, I love him. Thank you, Lord. God is good. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I'm going to dive right into my lesson this morning. In the book of Luke, chapter 16, verse 16. Everybody's all right? God is good. I'm still in my lesson series. I think this is the last lesson of our Solid Rock Foundation series. I think it is. I want to entitle this The Christian Dispensation. The Christian Dispensation. If you've been here, you know that I have attempted to cover the ages in which the world that have transpired throughout the history of the world. The Bible speaks of, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, God, who at sundry times, or at many times, in diverse manners, or in various manners, spake in time past unto the fathers, the heads of the household, through the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, David, Nathan. But in these last days in which we are living in case you didn't know that, we are in the last. Brother Gary, the Bible was written thousands of years ago. I know. And it said that then it was the last days. Well, we're still in the last days. God don't count time like you count time. One day with the Lord is as a thousand years. A thousand years as one day. And if you want to give it some of your time, you know, the first dispensation. Everybody's all, keep your thinking caps on. The first dispensation from the time of Adam, the beginning of the world, As far as we can tell and count the time to the time of Moses is over 2,000 years. That's a long time. The first dispensation, called the patriarchal period, where God spoke in visions to his man, his heads of the household, to reveal his will. No written word at that time. We cover the second dispensation of time, the patriarchal period, the patriarchal area, the time of Moses, the time of Moses to the time of Christ. That's over about 2,000 years. In historical times, God spoke through Moses, the written word, the old law, the prophets, the Old Testament, 2,000 years. And since the time of Jesus' death, to now we're in the AD period, the after the death of Christ, the AD period. It is the year 2016. If you just do a little math, you see we're at about 2,000 years in the last days. Then if you got any kind of sense at all, you'll see that the first period ended about 2,000 years. The second period ended about 2,000 years. We're about 2,000 years. We ought to be living it with a sense of urgency today. Amen, somebody. We don't know when the Lord will come. No man knows the day, knows the hour. And we don't live with anxiety because we're putting all our trust in God. But we ought to be living with one eye on heaven as we live on this earth. And so go to your Bibles in Luke 16. I did start in Luke 16, 16. I didn't mean to get sidetracked. That was my review. But we are in the last days. Hath in these last days spoken to us by Jesus Christ, his son. It is the Christian dispensation, the Christian era, the Christian age. And you may not realize it right now, but this is the best time to be living. We are living in the best age. The Bible calls it a better covenant that we're living under, this Christian dispensation. The first dispensation, the life got so bad in Genesis chapter 6, the Bible says there was evil continually all the time. Violence and evil, and God destroyed the world by water. In Moses' time, they kept disobeying God, kept going into slavery. Thank the Lord that I'm not in slavery today. It's a good time to be living today. Amen, somebody. Luke 16, 16, God is good. His word is everlasting. The law, notice the law and the prophets, we discussed that. The law and the prophets, if you want to listen to some of the sermons, I think that they are online. The law and the prophets, the law being the law of Moses, the Mosaical law, the prophets. First five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the prophets, all the prophets, Isaiah, Nehemiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, the prophets. The law and the prophets were proclaimed unto John. John who? John the Baptist. I don't have time to read it all. Some of this you have to do on your own. The law and the prophets were proclaimed unto John. That was the second dispensation of time, the Mosaical period of time, the era. Since that time, the gospel, everybody say gospel. Gospel means good news. Good communication. This is his foundation, because we want our children, we want everybody in here who's named the name of Christ to know what you are, know what you're in, to know where we stand, to know the foundation in which we teach from. The gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God. And I'm telling you, it's some shown off good news. Under the second dispensation of time, God selected a people to carry out his purpose. They were the Jewish people. They were his chosen people. In this dispensation time, there's an invitation to everybody. The whole world, the whole entire world, every human being, every man, woman, boy, and girl. He says, and since that time, since before the law and the prophets, since the time of John, the gospel of the kingdom of God has been preached. And everyone is forcing his way into the kingdom of God. And this was written almost 2,000 years ago. The kingdom has been established. It is the Christian era. And I wish I had time to develop some more of that, but I want to make some points today, because I want all of us to realize what we are, the age we're living in, and the blessings and advantages of being in this Christian dispensation. And listen to John chapter 3, verse 28, John 3, 28. You yourselves are my witnesses that I say it. Now, John, that says they were preached unto John. That was John the Baptist. These are words that are quoted from John in John chapter 3, verse 28. He says this, you yourselves are my witnesses that I say it. John the Baptist is speaking. I am not the Christ. Listen, your salvation is not in John the Baptist. John the Baptist, his the basics of his sermons was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That was the basic summary of his lessons as he preached when he was on this earth. In other words, repent because the kingdom of God is very near. It's not here yet, but it's coming. And he said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. I wish I had time to develop that. Because you got to know that the bride is the church. Yeah. And see, some people fight church and some people don't understand the importance of the church. Paul wrote in Ephesians 5:27 that he might present to himself the church in all her glory. Understand that Jesus Christ is marrying the church. And he is one day going to present to himself the church in all her glory. I got another question for you this morning. If you are not in the church, when Jesus comes, what do you think going to happen to you? Now, I'm not talking about sitting in the church. I'm talking about you are a member of the body of Christ. Because the scripture teaches us that Jesus is coming back one day. What is he coming back for one day for, Brother Gary? His church family is what he's coming back for. Yeah, some people, all they want involvement in the church is to be buried in the church when they die. But it's more than just being buried in the church. Oh, go back to John chapter 3. Then he said this. He says, he who has the bride is the bridegroom, Jesus being the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, that's me, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. He says, I'm not jealous of Jesus, John Baptist is saying. I'm his forerunner, and I'm glad that he's here, and I'm rejoicing that he's here because I don't have a heaven to put you in. He says, so the joy of mine has been made full, John the Baptist says. He says, he must increase, and I must decrease. That's humility for him to say that. You know, if the Lord would have put some of us as John the Baptist, if we'd have come before Jesus preaching, we want all the glory. And if people wanted to praise us, we would just let them praise us. But he said, he must increase, and I must decrease. This is that Christian dispensation, that Chris. Go to John chapter 3, verse 34. Drop down a little bit, verse 34. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For he gives the Spirit without measure. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit in him, there was no limit to what Jesus could do through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit upon baptism, but it's not like Jesus' gift. Now, Jesus is commander of all. He rules the whole world. Verse 35, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son, notice this is to us. He says, now, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. And then he equates that and he qualifies that to help us to understand what kind of belief he wants us to have. He says, but he who does not obey the Son. See, with God, belief and obedience go hand in hand. There's no such thing as you saying, I believe in the Lord, I believe in Jesus, but you don't do nothing the Lord says. No, it's not the same thing. That's not the kind of faith that God wants from us. If you want eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. In this Christian dispensation, you must accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Notice, you must accept him, but you also must obey him. That's the message in this Christian dispensation. Oh, it's so much. It's a wonderful time. It's a wonderful place to be. There's so many advantages to being in this Christian dispensation. Let me give you one comparison. Go back to the second dispensation in the book of Leviticus, chapter 5, verse 5. Leviticus 5:5. Listen to what the Bible says. So it shall be When he became, now read this with me, if you will. So it shall be, this is under the old law. This is under the book of Leviticus. So it shall be when he becomes guilty of one of these. And he talks about a number of sins before this verse. If you touch something that was unclean, that was a sin. Whether you knew it or didn't know it. Unintentional or intentional. If you stole something, that was a sin. He says, and so it shall be when he becomes guilty in one of these that he shall confess that which he has sinned. First, this is under the old law. So if you become guilty and you shall confess it, that confession means to acknowledge it. Then verse 6, he shall also bring his guilt offering to the Lord for his sin, which he has committed. Then he tells him what to bring, a female from the flock, a lamb or a goat as a sin offering. Then he says, so the priest shall make atonement on behalf of his sin. So if you sin, you had to confess it, acknowledge it. You had to acknowledge it to the priest. You had to acknowledge it to people. You had to also bring an offering to the priest. You had to bring a special offering. You had to bring a lamb or a goat for this particular sin, a female lamb or a goat to the priest so the priest could make atonement for your sins. Listen to verse number seven. But if he can't afford a lamb, you say, brother, I didn't have a lamb. If he can't afford a lamb, then he shall bring to the Lord his guilt offering for that which he has sinned, two turtle doves or two young pigeons, one for a sin offering, the other for a burnt offering. Then verse number 11, Leviticus 5:11. But if his means are insufficient for two turtle doves or two pigeons, then for his offering, for that which he has sinned, he shall bring the tenth of an ephah of fine flour for a sin offering. In other words, under the old law, I don't care if you were rich or if you are the poorest of poor, you had to confess your sins and you had to bring something to the priest to be offered up for your sins under the old law. Quite a few steps there. Whether it was unintentional sin or intentional sin. Yeah, he shall bring it to the priest. Thank the Lord for the Christian dispensation. Thank the Lord for the Christian dispensation. I mean, you know, you were sinning under the old law because you just couldn't remember all the things you had to do. I wish I had time to read Leviticus chapter 4, chapter 3, chapter 5, all the sins, all that you touched something. If you said something that was a lie, if you heard a speech and it was called, said that you were to be a witness over something that you heard or something that you didn't hear and you didn't come forth, even if you didn't know that you didn't come forth, if they find out later you were supposed to come forth, it was a sin. You had to offer something. Somebody comes and say, you didn't come forth, you were a witness. Well, I didn't know, you're still sin. So many laws. Let's come to the Christian dispensation. Listen to the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts 2:38. Peter said unto them, repent, change mind, mindset, heart, and each one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord, of Jesus Christ. Notice this, for the remission, for the forgiveness of your sins. Now, if you are, this is one, I don't understand why anybody would want to be a Christian. Because in order to become a Christian, you repent of your sins, have a changed mind of heart about sin. I don't want to do it anymore. You don't have to bring a bull. You don't have to bring a goat. You don't have to bring a turtle dove. You don't have to bring a pigeon. You don't have to bring flour. You can be rich. You can be poor. It starts in your mind. You come to the Lord, you're baptized in water for the remission, for the forgiveness of your sins. And when you do that, God gives you the gift. He forgives your sins. Well, how many sins, Brother Gary? Every one of them. All of them. Whether you know them or not. God forgives all of your sins. Brother Gary, I robbed somebody when I was 20. Now, you might have to go to jail. But God will forgive you of your sins. I'm telling you now, it's worse to go to jail and don't get your sins forgiven. Yeah, now some of us have done things that nobody knows but us. And I'm like you, brother, thank the Lord. Some of you have stole something and nobody's found out yet. And if you're not a child of God, and you know that's wrong, and it's hunting you to even to this day, and you're not a Christian, what's wrong with you? What are you waiting on? And God is so wonderful, he's so good, that he'll forgive you of all of your sins. Notice this, your public acknowledgement that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that you acknowledge that that sin is wrong, that I'm not going to do it anymore, and you acknowledge that Christ is the Lord, and you come and you be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. God doesn't require you to tell us everything you've done. And I'm telling you, I can show up and say, thank you, Lord. Because most of us couldn't handle telling everything that we've done. Amen, somebody. Now, that's before you become a Christian. In order to become a Christian, under the Christian dispensation, a change of heart, a change of mind, an action of baptism into Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins washes away all of your sins. Under the old law, everything they did, they had to do it every single year. And every single instance, even it was before the end of the year, of some sins they had to do. Now. Well, Brother Gary, most of us in here right now are already Christians. Listen, under this Christian dispensation. Listen how beautiful this is under the Christian age. Well, what about after? So like those individuals he's talking to under the old law, they were Jews, and they were already under God's promise. They were chosen people, but they still had sin. Well, do you sin after you become a Christian in the Christian dispensation? Hello. I don't know about you, but I have sinned since I've been a Christian. What happens to me now, Brother Gary? Go to Acts chapter 8, verse 13. Acts chapter 8, verse 13. I'll just give you one example. One of the beauties of being under the Christian dispensation. This was Simon. Let me read verse 13. Even Simon. Simon was a sorcerer. He was actually a crook before he became a Christian, just like I was talking to myself then. He was a sorcerer, a magic man before he became a Christian. But there are people right now who are doing all kinds of devilish things. If they hear the gospel, they'll obey the gospel. And the gospel can change your heart. And the gospel can change your actions. It's done it to a lot of us in here right now. Simon himself, the Bible says, it uses the term even Simon, because you know, some people you think would never get baptized, some people in your family, and when they get baptized, after they get baptized, you tell your other friend, even Leroy got baptized. Oh, but Leroy, I ain't mean to. I wasn't talking. Yeah. Just like some of you. I remember when my daddy got baptized. Y'all heard me say this before. My daddy is an elder in the church right now, but he wasn't always an elder or a deacon or a Christian. My daddy was something else. And after he got baptized, some of his friends, man, you heard it. Ben got baptized. Ben. They used to call him Benny Boy Baby. For a reason. Y'all didn't know that. I'm gonna tell all of your business that before I'm through, you ain't gonna know everything about you. Notice, even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, after he got baptized, he continued on with Philip, and he observed the signs and great miracles taking place, and he was constantly amazed. He observed these signs because the signs he was doing was trickery. But the signs and miracles that Philip and the apostles were performing were authentic, and they came from God. Listen to verse number 22, Acts 22. And then Simon got so outlandish, he craved those gifts. Now, you know, just because you get baptized don't mean everything you used to do in the past just go away. Now, we all are becoming, aren't we? Hopefully we're better than we are, better today than we were 5-10 years ago. And hopefully we're not making an excuse, well, I'm just going to drag all of this into heaven. Some of that stuff you're not dragging into heaven. You need to be fighting and trying to live for God and have true repentance in your heart. And Simon craved the gifts, and he said, I want to be able to do these gifts. And Philip reprimanded him. Listen to verse number 22. I don't have time to read it all. He says, therefore, he told Simon, therefore, now Simon is a Christian. He's baptized. He says, therefore, repent. Well, Gary, I thought he repented before he got baptized. He was supposed to. He did. But sometimes you have to keep on repenting. And God will allow you to repent if you have godly sorrow. And Peter and Philip told him, he says, therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray. Hold up. Now, I thought we had to go to the priest to pray. I thought we had to take an offering to the priest to pray for us. If you are a Christian and you have a sincere desire to do what's right in God's eyesight, you can pray to God for yourself. Thank you, Lord. You don't have to wait to Sunday. You don't have to wait to Monday. You don't have to take anything to the priest to pray for you, because the priest needs somebody to pray for him. Under this Christian dispensation. Listen to the Bible in James chapter 5, verse 16. James 5, 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. This is talking to the saints. See, sometimes we do things to each other, even in the body of Christ. And you don't necessarily have to come down here and fill out a card for that. You got a friend that you've fallen out with that you lied on and you didn't mean to lie on, but you still lied on them. And I don't care whether you meant it or not, it's still wrong. The confession means to acknowledge. Some of us, there are some people right now, for us to fix some relationships, you need to go to them and say, you know what? I am sorry. I acknowledge that I haven't been the type of friend, the type of member in the body of Christ that I need to be. And I acknowledge that I'm confessing that to you. And I need you to pray. We need to pray together right now. That's what we have in the Bible. Now notice this. Notice it. He said, why are you doing that? So that you may be healed. Some of us, we are living with guilt on our shoulders and living in the past, and all it is that guilt is riding us down because we're too hard-headed. Our egos are too big to acknowledge that we've wronged somebody. Under this Christian dispensation, you don't have to get the whole church involved to handle that. You can do that on your own. God is good. Now, notice this. There's no forgiveness. Now, if you are not a Christian, see, this is the best age to live in, this Christian dispensation. But it's best for Christians. Just because you're living in this dispensation don't automatically mean it's going to be good for you if you don't obey Christ. Because there is no forgiveness outside of Christ. No forgiveness for anybody. That's why I don't care. If you're not into Jesus Christ, you say, well, girl, I don't know if I'm ready. Even if you don't know if you're ready, you need to get in Christ and figure it out. Stop fighting the Lord. Listen to Acts chapter 26, verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. After he taught him and dealt diligently with the word and went through Jewish history with him, and he compelled him and convicted him with the word. You know how a sermon does it sometimes? We hear the truth and it pierces our heart, but we still won't respond to the truth. Paul told him, he said, I would to God that not only thou, but also everybody here that's this day were both almost and altogether such as I am. And he says, he gave that lesson to Agrippa, but the other people were there just as we even do this day. And you can hear it directly as someone is talking to you, but when you hear the truth and it is knocking you on the head, we need to answer God's truth. Because there's no forgiveness outside of Jesus Christ. I gotta stay on time. This Christian era now is beautiful, but it's not without laws. There are laws. The Old Testament, they had the Ten Commandments, and you had other laws and ordinances. Some people try to abuse this Christian age. They said, Lord, Gregory, thank you, Lord, for the Christian age, because I'm going to be saved by God's grace. And you are exactly right. All of us will be saved by his grace and his mercy and his favor. But do you understand what God's grace is? That God left heaven to come to earth to die for our sins. That's grace already. Now, and we want extra grace. We want grace to cover up everything. But God's grace has already been issued to all of us, and anybody that wants to can answer God's call to us. That's God's grace. Don't abuse God's grace. The Bible in Romans, Paul tells the Romans, don't continue in sin that grace may abound. Because there's not enough grace to cover all of our hard-headed sins when we're rebelling against God. And so there are laws, and don't use God's. For instance, I'll give you one in Matthew chapter 5, verse 33. And there are a lot of things that Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, but he goes on to say, but I say, in this Christian dispensation, he shows us the transition, the difference from the old law to the new law. And he says, but I say, for instance, in Matthew 5:33, he says, again, you've heard that... that the ancients were told, under the law, under the Old Testament law, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. That was one of the laws. Numbers chapter 30 talks about keeping your vows. If you make a vow to God, you keep your vow. And that was said, and that's still right even today. But I think Jesus was tying this particular message in this text. He's tying it to one of the commandments: "Is thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." You know, the law under the Old Testament: "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." He says this in verse number 34. But I say, everybody say, but I say. Now the "I" is important. He says, Jesus said. Now, if you don't do nothing else, when you're studying the Bible, anytime Jesus says something, you definitely need to pay attention. Because Jesus, the Christian dispensation, it had a transition. It changed things. And the Bible says it changed things for the better. He says, but I say, make no oath at all. Jesus said, hold up now. I say, now you heard that it's been said, don't make any false vows. He says, but I say, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, nor shall you make any oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black, but let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond this is of evil. Jesus, he gets to the heart of the matter in every instance when he's talking to his people. He says, I'm concerned about your hearts and your motives. Yes, sir. He says, not only should you not make oath, he said, but you ever heard somebody when they make an oath, they swear, they say something like, I swear to God. I swear I put my hand on a stack of Bibles and I swear. Well, most time when they're doing that, they're lying already. Now, listen, you remember, some of you know the psalmist in Psalms chapter 24. This is God. This is how God thinks and how he looks at us. Psalms chapter 24, verse 4. Sometime I read this at funerals. Psalms 24, 4. He says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? This comes after the 23rd Psalm. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in this holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who's not lifted up his soul to falsehood, who has not sworn deceitfully. And so Jesus is saying, he said, look, don't use God's name deceitfully or frivolously. Don't be using God's name to help cover up some of your lies. And under the old law, yeah, you to keep an oath, but just let your word be word. When you're making a promise, I promise to God, you don't have to promise to God. You don't have to use God's name in vain like that. Just do what you say you're going to do. Amen. And if you're not going to do something, say, I cannot do it. Amen, amen somebody. Amen. You know, that'll keep us out of trouble. It's hard to remember all the lies that we tell anyway. Under this Christian era, Jesus is concerned about the heart. There are commandments under this Christian era that are unique to this Christian dispensation. There are commandments. There are commandments that were not under the old law in this Christian era. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, as I try to bring this lesson to a close. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 33. You know, as Paul, he wrote to the Corinthians, and he said this, for I received from the Lord. Now, this is different than what was under the old law. He says, I received from the Lord, which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And he commemorated something that was not under the old law. They had the Passover supper under the old law, but this was different. He says, he was betrayed. He took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Who is it for? It's for the saints. It's for the Christians. It's for the church of God. It's for you to do this in remembrance of me. This table is spread, and in a moment we will partake of this table under this Christian dispensation as our remembrance of Jesus' death, his burial, his resurrection, as our gratitude for Jesus dying for our sins under this Christian age. And that's why if you have your help, if you're not providentially hindered, every time this table is spread, you need to be there to partake of this in this Christian dispensation, because Jesus made it so good. He made it so well for us. He made the best life for us. And the least we can do is to remember him on the first day of the week. In this Christian era, in this Christian age, Christian means disciple of Christ, follower of Christ. Notice this in verse 11. How important is it to Christ? Notice verse 11, verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 11, 28. But a man must examine himself. While we're doing this, we're to examine ourselves. And in so doing, he's to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself. If he does not, this is very important to the Lord. And so while we're taking this, you are to examine yourself so God don't examine you. Amen. So God, because see, you don't want God to start. You see, when we're taking the Lord's Supper, if God wants us to do on our own, voluntarily, to say, how is my life with the Lord? Am I appreciating God? God, that's what God wants us to do while we're partaking his Lord's Supper. Well, Gary, I lied last week and I stole something last week. That's why you need to examine yourself. Now, when we take the Lord's Supper, some people don't take the Lord's Supper sometimes because they think they got too much sin in their life. Hello, then a whole lot of us wouldn't be taking it. See, when he says examine yourself, it's not saying that you have lived perfect all during the week. It's before you. Listen, this is why being under the Christian era is so beautiful. You could have sinned. And this table brings you to recognition of how filthy you are. Amen. And when you examine yourself, now that you are under the law of Christ, under this Christian dispensation, and you have godly sorrow, you can ask the Lord to purify your heart, to forgive you of all of your sins before you take this Lord's Supper. Because if you don't do that, then God will judge you and say, why don't you repent? Why don't you confess? You are guilty. You are bloody. Why are you abusing my Lord's Supper? Under this Christian dispensation. And do we realize all of that's going on while we are partaking the Lord's Supper? Yeah, it's under the Christian dispensation. So I get serious when the Lord's Supper. I mean, I've grown so much in that particular area. I do because in my mind I'm saying, Lord, forgive me, please. Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I got some bills I need to pay, but I don't need to be thinking about that right now. I got a whole lot of things I need to do, but I don't need to be thinking about that now. Lord, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Please leave me alone around me. Stop passing things. Stop moving. Mm-mm. No, don't. It's not time for you to talk to me right now. Leave me alone right now because I'm thinking about Jesus. Amen. Somebody. Under this Christian dispensation, the crown jewel of this Christian dispensation, Brother Norval read in your hearing from Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 4. Thank you, Brother Allen, for your prayer this morning. Amen. Felt your heart. Thank you. It's amazing how God can use different personalities. Season the young. An older man ought to pray a little bit different than a younger man. I mean, you've been through more. Yeah, so you get to be You get to be old. Your prayers ought to be not more than now. Lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Yeah. You get to be older. You start thinking about it. Ain't gonna be long. I'll be laying down. Somebody have to come see me. Amen. Somebody. I'm telling you. I know. I'm not. I still think I'm pretty young. But ain't nobody asked. But you know, but you see a lot in the way. I'm learning to appreciate a lot more things than I used to appreciate. I appreciate being able to come to church and sit down, and you know, you appreciate when your bones not hurting in you. See, a younger person, under 30, you don't even know nothing. You don't know what that's all about. You don't know what it's all about for you to have a day that your ankle's not hurting and your knees not hurting, or that somebody every day. You get after a certain age, one of your friends will die. They either gonna die or they'll be in the hospital, or your mother's, your people. It's always something. I didn't mean to get off. I'm sorry. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Now, the mystery doesn't mean that it's something secret that we cannot know. It's a mystery. It is not a mystery to us now because it's been revealed, but it was a mystery to the prophets we talked about in the first dispensation. Even to Moses in the second dispensation, it was a mystery because it hadn't been fully revealed. Now Paul has it. He says, my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the spirit, to be specific, the Gentiles, who are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body. Now, this is in the Christian dispensation. This is very important because in this dispensation, it's not about the chosen Jews. It's about anybody that wants to be a member of the body of Christ. Now, notice this. This is the best organization, the best institution, the only institution. You might have been turned down for the fraternity or sorority. You might have been turned down as you applied for college and a school or a medical school or whatever. You might have been turned down, and you know, and you might be disappointed, but that's okay. There was better than that. But this institution, who God has made available to anybody who wants to be a member of his body, he says, and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ, see, through Jesus, through the gospel. That's why we echoed the word a few minutes ago. The gospel is the good news of which I was made a minister, Paul says, according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power in this dispensation. That message is like no other message. And it's an invitation for everybody, every young person. If you don't, before you get too old and get too polluted and confused with all of the doctrines and all of the teachers, you need to get into Christ Jesus. Amen. And be a member of his body, because that's a blessing to all. It was a mystery to them. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one spirit we were all baptized into one body. In the Christian dispensation, Jesus built one body. One family. And he says, we are all baptized into one body. And we know from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, the body is the church, and he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. Baptism puts us in the body. And you in this Christian dispensation, if you're not in the body of Christ, you're not a member of the body of Christ. You don't have forgiveness of sins. You don't have the blessings that we've been speaking about today. He says, you are in one body. God has one body, which is the body, the fullness of time. He says this. He says he has a promise that's given in this body, in this Christian age. There's a promise to everybody that's in the body of eternal life, to everybody who answers the call of being in the body of Christ in the Christian dispensation, in the Christian age. And I extend that invitation to you today. If you've not obeyed Jesus Christ, the urgency of it. There remains no more sacrifice for sins. There's not another age that's coming. There's not another opportunity. There's not another chance. There's not another Jesus. There's not another God. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, that's what you want to be. Now, notice this. You don't have to be a Buddha Christian. The Bible knows nothing about that. There's not a Lutheran Christian or a Methodist Christian or a Baptist Christian or a Catholic Christian that you read about in the Bible. There is just a Christian, a follower of Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ. It says, if anyone suffers as a Christian, he's not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in his name. Then it says, verse 17, for it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. This is why you want to be in his body, in his church, in the church of Christ. Judgment will begin with the household of God. What do you mean, Brother Gary, when Jesus leaves the pearly gates of heaven and comes with his mighty angels in flaming fire, the Bible says, taking vengeance on them that know not God and who obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, God puts you into his body, into his church. You are now a Christian. And when Jesus comes out of the glory gates of heaven with his mighty angels, he's coming for his bride, which is the church. And the Bible says judgment will begin with the household of God, which the Bible says is the church of the living God. Ah, there's somebody in here that needs to be baptized today in this Christian dispensation, in this Christian age. This is a foundational lesson, because see, I know some of you here, you're Christians already, and you need to know, Brother Gary, I need to know how to live on this earth. But there's some here who needs to be in his kingdom. You need to be in the body of Christ. And we want to make sure you have this foundation right. This is one you need to get right. You may not be perfect now. None of us are perfect, but you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ even this day. Are you here this morning? Do you want to take advantage of the best time to be living in the history of the world? You see, notice this. And you know, there are some ages. There's some things. The Super Bowl is coming to Houston next year, y'all know that, right? And the Super Bowl is today, isn't it? And folks get in a friend. Where? What city is it? The Super Bowl? Where? San Francisco. Santa Clara. Super Bowl is in. There are Super Bowl parties all over Houston, all over the world. And folk are getting going, buying groceries, getting excited. Super Bowl. If you think the Carolina Panthers are going to win, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Yeah. If you think the Denver Broncos are going to win, raise your hand. Okay. We'll see. And, you know, I play football. Football was good to me. But I'm telling you, I don't get that excited over. I got a question for you. Whoever win, are they sending you a check? No. I just had. I mean, you know, some things we get in a tizzy about, get so excited about, but you know, Monday the Super Bowl will be over. And I got, what you gonna do Monday? Going to work. I hope you're not putting no money on here. Because some of you gonna be mad Monday. Bible says that the word of God is forever. It's eternal. See, there's some things we get excited about, but when you look at it in the big picture of it, it's not worth all of that. And things happen and things going around you and you all excited, they're not sending you no check. We need to be investing our time and our energy into everlasting things. Amen, somebody. And so if you're here today and you need to be baptized into Jesus Christ, you need to do that today. You come by faith believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're willing to repent of your sins, if you're willing to confess Christ, if you're willing to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, God adds you to his church in this Christian dispensation, which was not under the old law. It's one body that you can read about in your Bible, and you know you're doing it God's way. and you have the hope of eternal life. And it's given freely to us. Freely you receive. I don't know how much the Super Bowl tickets are, but I'm not paying for one of those tickets. But I got something better than the Super Bowl today. Praise the Lord. Somebody come to Jesus. If you need to ask for prayer, come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Oh, pass me not, oh, gentle Savior. Please,
why don't you hear
my humble cry? Please tell me why. I'm calling you, Savior. Oh, Savior.
Thank you, Lord. Why don't you hear my heart?